You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Hey, pals. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Great.
All right, so I want to let everybody know, I'm not Dan. I'll never be Dan. I'm just filling in his stead. In many ways, I'm the Dan who stepped up. I'm your step-Dan. But I think we're going to have a lot of fun today. And if in the midst of that fun, you guys want to call me Dan, it's all right.
I'm not ready to call you Dan yet. I think I'll get there.
It's all right, Christopher. We're here to have fun and learn something as well.
Speaking of the N-word, the NBA was on fire last night.
What? Now, let's let Juju express himself.
Man, the Milwaukee Bucks crapped the bed right on schedule, right after we were talking about the Celtics so much and how mm-hmm. we couldn't believe in them. The Milwaukee Bucks, man, what a one to let go last night without LeBron James. Yeah. Austin Reed had the game of his career last night. Anthony Davis, wow, great game. Damian Lillard, oof. Seeing Giannis miss those free throws at the end of the game in that clutch moment must have been rough for him.
With LeBron counting on the sideline. You see, on the right. sideline doing the thing. He's just getting trolled nonstop with that.
It's funny because, you know, we've had a lot of conversations about lines and everything like that over the last week or so. And Giannis, if I'm not mistaken, the over-under on him was 29 for the night. And he had 25 going into at the end of regulation. Yeah, or 25 going into, I want to say, the late into the game.
Right.
And then missed the two free throws. Like, it's one of those things, like, really? What's going on?
Jonte was like, yes.
Yeah, see? It ain't just me. Yep, he had 29 on the dot last night, but those two free throws, of course, would have put him over. He was 1 of 6 from the free throw line. The one thing I'm going to say, though, Juju, is, we don't expect anything of the Bucks, though, right? Like, we're past the point of thinking that this is a team, correct?
Absolutely, a little bit. I think a lot of people still think the Bucks can win the championship this year.
I feel like we're saying that out of respect, like out of respect to Giannis, out of respect to Damian Lillard, but no one actually believes it.
I mean, just how flimsy the Celtics look in pressurized situations. No, without them, who else in the East really contends?
The Celtics. I can think of somebody.
Please don't.
You know what? We'll get to those jokers in a second. But I'm serious here. It's like this is like the, you know, Zach Harper and I always talk about like the MVP conversation. People are complaining. Oh, so and so should be in the MVP conversation, and we're like, so you're going to vote for him MVP? Well, nah, I wouldn't vote for him. Just didn't stop talking about it. So the Bucks should be in the conversation for a championship. But other than someone who's employed by the Bucks, who thinks the Bucks are going to win the championship?
To me, it felt like when they hired Doc Rivers, I was like, ooh, all right, we're done. This is over. Milwaukee's done.
I mean, he's fixed it somewhat. They're better than what they were under Adrian Griffin.
Sure, but the track record suggests that once they get into the playoffs, the wheels are going to fall off.
I feel like the wheels already fell off.
Then he put them back on, but they're going to fall off again.
Yeah, he put on, like, cardboard wheels. Like, these aren't real
like those
wheels.
Little tires, you know, when you got the back.
Donut.
They're like little tiny ones that say don't drive over 45 miles an hour. You gotta like,
nah.
Did Doc really make this big of a difference though? When looking back on Adrian Griffin, mm-hmm. did Doc make this big of a difference where it was necessary to get rid of Adrian?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It kills me because AG is a good guy and everything, but like if the guys don't believe in you, it's a wrap, dude. You could go get brainwashed, come back. I'm the smartest basketball mind that ever lived. It's done. You missed your opportunity to prove it to them. Because
I feel like if he got brainwashed and became the smartest basketball mind that existed, they would start to believe in him.
No, they wouldn't.
I feel like if you don't believe in, why would you not believe in that guy who just got brainwashed and now he's the smartest basketball mind?
Because it's too late.
You painted a scenario where it's like they yeah. still wouldn't buy it.
No, you got to be a leader of men.
In the scenario that you painted, they mm-hmm. would finally
no,
believe
they,
in him.
No, they wouldn't. It's not a Disney movie, Chris. They like he'd walk in and say, "Oh, the Pythagorean theorem, da da da, and all that stuff," and they'd be like,
"Nerd,
yeah,
get out of here, get out of here, nerd."
There'd be nothing. There would be nowhere. Speaking of nothing and nowhere, the Miami Heat. Now, Jeremy, this is the part that I don't get.
Yes,
they have the easiest or the second easiest strength of schedule remaining in the league, right? The easiest, if you don't count Detroit, because Detroit.
Yeah, you don't count Detroit.
Yeah. I don't have any confidence in them to get out of seven. And dare I say it, I think they're vulnerable depending on what happens with Philadelphia. They're extremely vulnerable in a play-in situation. Last night, they go out there. They play the Warriors pretty close in the first half. I was at the game. Jeremy was at the game. Bonafides. And then the same thing that's happened a lot recently in Heat games in the second half where the other team realizes, oh, yeah, we can score. We have offense. And the Heat are like, oh, I was hoping you wouldn't notice.
Damn, we don't. Yeah, I mean, look, the Heat's second half offense has been pretty horrendous lately, and it's in large part because their effort, enthusiasm, whatever, with that team, culture, blah, 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 it can will you into a competitive first half. But ultimately, they just haven't had the bodies to have offense in the second half. And the bodies specifically being Duncan Robinson out now, Kevin Love, Tyler Hero. Those are your three best three-point shooters.
Sure.
They went one of 16.
And Jimmy this year.
Well, yeah, and
Jimmy's one of their best three-point shooters.
Yeah, and Bam Adebayo, obviously. But when you don't have any threat from deep, not just execution, when you're going one of 16 mm-hmm. from three in the second half, I believe it was, it's other teams are able to pack the paint. You've seen teams play zone defense against Miami in the second half in multiple games over the last few weeks. And in large part, it's because they look at, you know, Terry Rozier trying to get his in the mid-range, taking long twos. Patty Mills is your greatest threat from the three-point range right now. And that's right, exactly. And so, and that's not to say Patty Mills has played better, honestly, than I think anticipated, just because he's played a ton of minutes that nobody expected when he signed here. Their injuries are piling up, but their offense has been a problem all season long.
That's my thing. And my thing is, so a season ago, their offense struggled, but we all said, yeah, but this is a good three-point shooting team that hasn't been making its threes. At some point, it's going to turn on. And then it turned on in, like, the playoffs, and the rest was history. This year, the three-point shooting has been decent. The offense is still struggling. So now I'm wondering where that big fix is going to come from.
So to me, I would argue you haven't seen this team complete at any point this season. You add Terry Rozier, who was supposed to be offensive help. He has yet to play more than, what, three or four games with his full backcourt of Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. I don't know how Tyler Hero and Terry Rozier will play off each other, but the reality is that Tyler Hero is the best playmaker for others on this team.
Right.
Outside of maybe Bam Adebayo. He's the best player at setting up other players on this team, and Terry Rozier is more of a score-first guard, where what you've seen from Tyler this year was he did, even though he is a scorer, he became someone at the start of this season who was able to set up other players and have them succeed offensively. Without him, this team has really floundered.
Yeah, that's the one of the interesting things for me, is because when Terry Rozier came here, it was like, hey, what he was doing in Charlotte on a bad team with not a lot of people around him, guys don't expect that here because he's got to fit in. But then with the injuries, it's like, well, I thought you'd give us what happened in Charlotte. And he's forget about setting other people up. He struggled in and of himself shooting the ball for the most part.
I think the other thing, too, when you talk about they haven't had their full team, is also there's no guarantee of health. This is the NBA. This could be just a season where the Heat have nobody the entire year. And that's just the way it is, right?
Yeah, it's been one of those years where, and look, last year you could argue was kind of similar, right? I mean, they missed a bunch of guys. Bam missed time, Jimmy missed time, Tyler missed time. But the difference was during those stretches, two of the other players were often available. And your role players were all healthy. They were just struggling. So I remember sitting here in December, January, February, and saying if Gabe Vincent and Max Strus start hitting their threes that they should as they're generating open shots, this team will be good. And then you got to the playoffs, and that's exactly what happened. Those guys got hot. They were generating great shots. Right now, you're looking at an offense that's totally jumbled up. I mean, but what are you to expect when you have lineups out there last night? And this is not a criticism of any of the individual players, but when you're looking at a lineup that is DeLon Wright, Caleb Martin, Haywood Highsmith, Jaime Jaquez, and Thomas Bryant, how do you expect to generate consistent offense?
Jeremy, you sound broken. I hear a little doubt in your voice. You've been the guy, no matter what is said around here, Heat and five.
I still feel that way if they're healthy. Like, that's the reality.
If you're thrown in there.
Well, yeah, of course.
Because they're never healthy.
Tyler's been out for a really significant amount of time. He needs to be able to come back in the next few games for this rotation to really get comfortable together.
Jimmy's been the interesting one in terms of missing games for me because Tyler seems to have a clear injury. Duncan has a back injury.
Yeah.
Jimmy was probable yesterday and then was out with a sickness. Yeah. The real macro thing here is that the Heat have seemed to change their... They didn't let LeBron do whatever he wanted to do here. And now they're letting Jimmy Butler, a lesser player. So have they like changed their stance with players? It just seems like they give Jimmy way more than they even gave LeBron.
Like the latitudes?
This is just a change in the way the NBA works. No? I mean,
it's like everything is shifting, right? And so if you look at in respect to all the other teams, the Heat are still where they've always been. If you're trying to compare to where the Heat were, of course they've moved. In the same way that if you look at the Warriors, we think of them as a fast team, right? And they've been a fast team in the NBA for the last decade. If you look at where they were in 2017 or whatever, it would be incredibly slow right now. So it's one of those things where you just have to kind of adjust to the times. Off topic, though, do you guys get excited when there's someone famous at the game? Does that change your excitement level for a game?
If I was a player, it would.
Would it?
If I was playing and I saw that girl who I love song is sitting in the front row, I'm dropping 50.
Ooh, is that Denzel?
I put up about 25 for Denzel.
Oh, man, really?
Good night, though. Good night.
Eight boards.
So last night they had Neymar in the building. They had Alcaraz in the building. They had Busquets, but he's 100 years old, so nobody cares anymore. Although he plays for,
do you have guys in the NBA knowing who those guys are?
Yeah. Yes,
Alcaraz. Yeah. You have somebody dribbling down the court and be like, "Oh, that's Alcaraz."
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and this team has to because Jimmy's friends with those guys.
Yeah, I don't think Lucy knows who Alcaraz is.
What?
Hey, Lucy.
Lucille, do you know who Carlos Alcaraz is?
Who?
Okay.
Oh, you're talking about the tennis player.
The tennis player.
I know who that is.
Yeah, but if you see, if you put a lineup of...
You said tennis, and then I knew. Yeah, I know what he looks like.
Right?
He's from Spain, right?
he's swarthy. Hairline. Swarthy with an excellent hairline.
Got it.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. but Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you got to listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Dan Le Batard. Teammates can't shoot from three. Now they're gonna see a different Jimmy. Now he's just playing Nickelback in the locker room. And
Stugats.
They'll play D and shoot threes as they chase the Nets for the sixth seed. These five words in his head. Scream, are we winning games yet?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Does that increase your excitement level? Like, who's been at, I just saw this other day. Someone was at an Iowa game.
Travis Scott. And like, Jake from Safe Farm.
Does that, well.
And he's everywhere.
And Maya
Moore.
And George Kittle. And Jason Sudeikis. And Sue Bird.
Saying Jake from State Farm was there is like saying, like, Jax was at the Heat.
Nah, he's the most recognizable face in America.
But he's working.
He's always working.
He doesn't go recreationally.
Right. Yeah, but they just said, very realistically, what does he do that is work there? They send him to sit in the front row and be there as an advertisement.
Man, that's work.
It's awesome. That's what I'm saying.
My
it's great.
Job.
Oh, okay, you think it's great? Try walking every two steps and having someone say, Jake, what's safe for him? Jake, what's safe for him?
We were cool when we saw him.
We were super cool when we saw him. We didn't bring attention to him.
We were like, what's up, bro?
What's up, man? I know.
Do you think that his level of celebrity allows people to feel like they can approach him? So, like, that's the problem, is that he's too approachable, and so in turn, he is getting stopped, where all of the other high-level celebrities aren't getting stopped by people.
Tony, where did we see Jake from State Farm, and what was the situation?
So it was freezing outside, and we saw him. So up north, this doesn't happen in Miami. Up north, there's like a room before you get into the bar that's like, I guess, to take off your coat or
a vestibule,
whatever.
Like a mudroom.
So me and Amin are waiting for an Uber, and we're sitting in that room or whatever, and Jake
Staying
from State
warm.
Farm walks in. Kind of like hides in the corner. Me and Amin are there, like
huddled.
Freezing. Yeah, he's huddled. He's freezing, and we're there, like, "What's up?" And he's like, "What's up, boys?" And we're like, "Chilling." Just a normal guy.
But then, as people are entering this bar, going through the vestibule,
he had to leave.
Every single person, Jeremy, that walked through, Jake from State Farm.
It was late already too, so you know the drinks have been flowing.
It's one of those things. I'm gonna tell you what: if you're famous for something serious, people are much more likely to, like, approach with caution. Like, so if you saw, you know, Laurence Olivier, who I don't think is alive.
Perfect example.
Right? That's the most serious person I could think of. Or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, you're like, oh, nice to meet you, Mr. Abdul-Jabbar.
You approach with reverence.
Yeah, reverence.
Yeah.
If you do some clownish shit,
I mean, is Jake's from State Farm really clownish? That's not clownish.
Dude.
No, but it's approachable because he's a commercial actor.
It's not serious, right? It's not like, yo, man, this guy, like, he has a lot going on.
Like, chill. Hey, chill.
Yeah, man, I think he has a lot going on. I think Jake from State Farm, it's like being Batman, bro. It's so much responsibility.
Juju,
bro.
I'm not arguing that it ain't easy, that he's got a hard job with her. I'm saying for the fan who's walking, they're not looking in and like, oh, man, like, this guy's real busy. Let me leave him alone. They're like, oh, man, that's that dude. All you got to do is, like a good neighbor, da-da-da, and they just run up on you. Like, hey, like me, people think, oh, because Amin jokes around and he shoots weird and all that stuff. Like, oh, you can just run up on him.
Look at Louis.
Laurence Olivier died in 89. What kind of reference was that by you?
That's why people are very cautious.
If you weren't into Laurence Olivier, who died when I was two.
Right,
I
protect your neck because he is a zombie.
I was trying to think of Anthony Hopkins, and I couldn't think of his
Sir
name.
Anthony.
I think also.
Rest in peace to Laurence Olivier, though, with respect to his family. Much love.
Did Jeremy almost kill Sir Anthony Hopkins?
I did. I almost did. I stopped myself.
Okay. You're like, almost. I was like,
That should be like a $25 fine, right? Like, $50 is for killing someone who's still alive. 25 should be of almost
for killing. Almost killing him. Yeah.
Attempted murder.
Really manslaughter.
Bad. It was attempted
murder.
Yeah, it
was manslaughter.
But no, but so does anyone actually get excited when you see like, oh, the game I'm watching, someone famous is watching this game?
At UFC events, there's always a ton of people. Juju's been in the crowd like deep into where the famous people sit, and they'll pan over the crowd and you see Action Bronson, you see other fighters, you see a bunch of people, and you're like, damn, the fight kind of feels a little bit bigger.
Interesting names you didn't name
if
there.
If Guy Fieri's there, I'm excited.
Guy Fieri's been there.
Oh, I met him at the Super Bowl. That's we took nice. A picture together.
Yeah.
Very right exciting stuff.
Was he nice?
He was so nice, yeah. And he was so friendly. Well, honestly, the key is if you want to talk to a celebrity, you just got to make pals with their security, and
how's
that's
the hair look? How's the hair look in person?
Oh, God, it was glorious. It was the best day of my life.
Bro, at a fight, I sat right next to 6ix9ine and his crew. So I was rooting against every nigga, everybody he was rooting against for. I was like, oh, hell nah. He got to lose.
Welcome to our max audience. Following this, Oz, right here on Max. No, man, look, I've always been enamored by people who get excited when someone famous is. I'm like, who cares? We're not hanging out.
Oh,
with
you're
them.
Such a you're around celebrities.
No,
so
it's
much.
Not that. Oh, even before I knew a celebrity in my life, Chris. Like when I was in college, you go to the club. It's like, all right, we're waiting in line, and then all of a sudden it's like $50. Like $50. Like Allen Iverson is here. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not partying with Allen Iverson. I'm going to do the same ridiculous ratchet stuff I was going to do anyway.
$100. Laurence Olivier is here.
Oh, my God. That one, maybe. Maybe. Just to catch a glimpse. One last look at him.
I agree with you. Like, when I lived in L.A., seeing celebrities I did not think was that cool. And I always thought it was really weird when people would, like, go up and bother them. But, like, as, like, an Iowa women's basketball fan, if there's any celebrity in Iowa, that's a very big deal. And we should always be very excited about that. They do not stop in Iowa.
Travis Scott went to an Iowa game.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. He was, like, leading the band and chants and stuff. He was really getting after it. It was a great time.
Now, is the band contractually obligated at that point to learn how to play at least one Travis Scott song?
I mean, it's Iowa, though. No.
Bro, every time Lucy go to any game, I am locked in on that game, bro. I don't matter if it's Nebraska versus whoever the hell, I'm locked in. So, yes, with Lucy is there, I'm focused.
But that's different because that's like a seal of credibility to the event when Lucy goes.
Thank you.
Nah, she is a celebrity, bro. My sister is
She's
popular.
A celebrity, but I'm going to say it just like Jake from State Farm. You're working. You're working. You're not
am
going
I working,
for fun.
Though? Have you ever seen the videos I put
I've
out?
I've seen the videos. I've never seen you do anything untoward or unprofessional.
What do you think the original Jake from State Farm, like, how do you think he feels about all of this? The one who was just, like, khakis?
Read an interview with him. So his name is actually Jake. He actually works for State Farm. He's not an actor.
No way.
That's why they cast a new Jake from State Farm, because they were like, yo, the stuff that we're going to start wanting Jake from State Farm to do is outside of your purview of just saying khakis or whatever. They had him in a Super Bowl ad a couple of years ago where he came back and he just did the
They
same
couldn't
line.
Develop my boy,
That's
though?
That's what I'm saying.
They couldn't
get
develop my boy, get him out
lessons.
Of the county and get him in there doing his
Come
thing?
On. I think my Come man on. Just wants to sell insurance to his clients and like help service their
Oh,
accounts.
He doesn't want to be the face of a massive brand that's all over the place, going to sporting events, hanging out with everybody.
Tony, I'm going to tell you right now, man. I learned this. I had this conversation with someone the other day. Like, you reach a point where it's like, do you like your job? Like, I like my job. Do you like who you work with? Like, we're cool. It's like, do you make enough money? It's like, oh, obviously, we'd always want more money, no matter how much money you make. But it's like, if I'm being honest, I make a decent, comfortable amount for me to live the lifestyle I live. It's like, then why am I going to mess it up trying to do something else, right? Like, imagine what that guy could have gotten into if he had gone that route, man. Drugs and hookers and the gambling debts. No, man, he's just Jake from State Farm, and he got his clients that rely on him like a good neighbor.
You say that, but according to People Magazine, Jake Stone was sourced from an internal casting call, originally an employee at State yes. Farm, but then after the role in the commercial eventually left his job, he now works as a bartender at a pub in Illinois.
The fame got to him.
That's a good conversation starter, though.
The fame
I used to be Jake from State Farm.
Didn't that happen to one of, like, the Geico cavemen? Like, he was really famous, and then he just, like, left and was like, you know what? I'm going to be a professor at a college. Because they gave him, like, I swear this happened. They gave
but
him, like,
as the caveman.
Yeah, they gave him a TV show.
A TV show on ABC,
and then,
yeah.
And then it just, like, didn't pan out, and now he, like, works at a university or something.
Well,
but he's still the caveman.
I kind of feel like if it doesn't pan out for me, I'd rather have Jake's life. I'd rather be a bartender than be a professor at university. Can you imagine trying to, all right, class, today's lecture is on the Mesozoic era. And yeah, Jake, whatever, like caveman, ha ha, it's
like
so
a good
easy.
Neighbor.
No, it's so easy. Oh, this class is so easy. Even caveman can do it. Am I right? Like, all right, Mr. Jenkins.
Speaking of great neighbors, Luka and Kyrie seem to be putting it together at the right time of the year, right now. The Mavericks, I feel like if they get into that play in spot, look out, bro.
His name is McManus Woodend, the original caveman, and he is now an English instructor at the University of Southern Indiana.
My dad works at Progressive, and let me tell you, Flo and the Don't Be Like Your Parents guy, they seem to be living the absolute best life.
Flo is one of the top five highest paid pitchmen, or pitch people, I should say, in the business.
Wow. She makes $6 million a year?
She's killing it.
Way more than my dad.
Bro, she's killing it.
Bruh, speaking of Flo, the Oklahoma City Thunder are flowing right now at the right moment. Jalen Williams, the J-Dub, not
he's
J-Dub.
He's amazing.
Not J-W. What's the other one name?
They J-Will.
Got two J-Wills, yeah.
J-Will's a light-skinned one. J-Dub is a dark-skinned
Bruh,
one.
Bruh, J-Dub going crazy right now. He's proving himself to be a great number two.
Should have been an all-star.
Hot take.
I mean,
not that hot.
I mean, with Oklahoma City being so good so early, mm-hmm. right? Do it feels like they're kind of ahead of schedule.
They are.
Is there a moment where you look and everybody Dan talks about all the time? Real Dan, not you.
Whoa.
Sorry.
You're my real Dan.
Thanks, Lucy.
So real Dan talks about it all the time where he's like, look, they're going to have to suffer something. Like, that's always been the plight of the young team. Suffer a loss in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Suffer a loss in the finals like Oklahoma City did way back when. Do you feel like this is a team that's kind of breaking those norms?
No, because the suffering doesn't happen in the regular season. So no matter how great they are, they're going to reach a point where they're going to discover, oh, this shit just
Jokic
got real.
Oh, Jokic is big.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit, I can't guard.
Literally, that's going to be
Chet Holmgren can't hold.
And by the way, we talk about like having the suffering. Sometimes that suffering happens late. Sometimes it happens in the conference finals. Sometimes, like the Thunder last time, it happens in the NBA finals, right? I think they went from getting knocked out in the first round in 2010 to like the finals in 2012, right? In 2 years, they went from a first round knockout as a young team as an 8 seed or whatever to all the way to the finals. So it doesn't always happen early or shockingly, but it happens. Like, no one goes all the way their first time. And so, yeah. I think they're going to get their rude awakening, but it's part of the process, man. You know? Yeah.
We do know.
I don't have an exit point.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Don Lebatard.
David Sampson, weirdo. Because he was not the fun substitute teacher who'd wheel out a TV and play a VHS tape of Armageddon in science class. He was the weird one who would eat an egg salad sandwich while clipping his toenails into the trash can and ranting about Ronald Reagan.
Stugatz.
The guy kept talking about how his ass was smooth. Smoother than a newborn's cheek. He wouldn't stop bragging about his bare buttocks to me.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Chris rather reassuringly whispered in my ear, the mic is hot. And I said, I know, because I turned it on.
You turned it on like before we were back. No, so I just was making sure you knew.
I just like to be ready, you know? I like to be in a state of readiness, like David Sampson, who joins us now. David Sampson, Nothing Personal is the podcast. You can follow him, listen, subscribe, like, share, et cetera, et cetera. Also, you can check him out live and in tour. That starts in Philadelphia.
In tour or on tour?
On tour.
I thought you said in tour.
I did say in tour. But he's on tour. He's on tour. And it starts Tuesday in Philadelphia. David, where can people find tickets for the events?
Right on davidsampsonpodcast.com. Or you can follow Juju because I'm seeing Juju in Atlanta. Juju, I'm so excited. Can you imagine what fun we will have on stage in Atlanta?
Absolutely. I got your back, brother. We're going to live it up, man. We're going to have a good time, man. Nothing personal. Salute to Matthew Coca. I see you, brother.
How did the genesis of that idea come about? A live tour. Not a live show, but a live tour.
So nothing personal has been going on for 4 years, and I do the show in front of just a camera. And obviously there's people listening, there's people downloading and watching. We debuted on DraftKings Network this week, and I just wanted to see what it would be like to do a live hour and a half show. And if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna swing big, and no matter what, we're gonna have fun. For all the people who come, I can't wait to meet them and meet the audience and just talk to them and have them talk to me during the show, do segments with them, maybe have some special guests along the way. Either way, they're gonna have fun watching how Coke and I get a episode up and rolling. The process is quite something when you go behind the scenes. And I love that as part of Nothing Personal because, frankly, that's what we are. We try to give light to the dark. When people don't understand what's happening in the world of sports, we try to explain to them, given that I've done it for so many years. So we're taking it and we're going to have fun with it. But of course, there'll still be Nothing Personal at 8 a.m. every day live on YouTube. I'll still do your show, I mean, all the time on Wednesdays. So don't worry, I'm not abandoning anybody.
There you go. He handles all of his responsibilities as he sheds light on the dark. But David, that brings me to something that I had in my notes for the show, and I didn't really necessarily think about talking to you about it, but now since you bring it up, why not? Do fans today know too much about the business, not of just sports, but of music, of everything, that it takes away from the enjoyment of the actual thing that they're fans of?
Have you been speaking to Coca? It's such a great question, Amin, because are people just here to be entertained and they want to put their head in the sand? They don't care about all the back of the house arguing that happens. My argument is no. People love to see how the sausage is made. They want insight. They want to believe they know as much. It used to be they just thought they could do all of our jobs. Now they want to know all of the foibles, all of the potholes, so then they can say, well, not only can we do your job, but we can do it better. So I like taking people behind the scenes and letting them see everything. And Coca, the esteemed great producer who I work with, sometimes he'll be in my ear during a show and he'll say, too much, too much. So it is a fine line.
Let me be clear. I'm not saying they don't want to know this stuff. I think, of course, everyone wants the hot goss, so to speak. But I feel like their infatuation with the back of the house stuff is reaching a point where it obscures the front of the house stuff, which is what you were a fan of to begin with, right? And Tony, we were talking about this earlier in the music thing. There's a whole Kendrick Lamar calls out Drake in a song and J. Cole kind of somewhat. And
that's a sideswipe on both.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a sideswipe on Drake. He was a full-on head-on collision with Drake. But
they were both in the car together when the crash happened.
Drake definitely got hit. You know, Cole got some whiplash. But the point is, David, is that rather than, you know, this isn't new. Rappers dissing each other. Rap beef is not new. But it used to be, who's got the better lyrics? Who got the better of the other guy in the arena of what we're talking about, which is I rap, you rap.
The verbal sparring.
Yeah. And now, Juju, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm seeing lots of people making arguments for tour sellouts and the size of venues this guy does and how many streams and all that. And it's like, wait, are you guys fans of the business of this, or are you actually fans of the actual thing that we came for, which is to hear these guys rap?
Right. David?
Oh, I'm sorry. He said Juju. I thought if you're going to be Dan, Amin, and you, what Dan does is he
weird
says a name,
yeah,
and no, then that name is the one who talks.
We absolutely want your opinion on J. Cole, Drake, and Kendrick Lamar, David. Come on, brother.
Because you're every woman in the world to me.
Was that beautiful. Drake or J. Cole? Or?
That's what that was.
New Kendrick?
That's a drop.
I will never apologize for Air Supply. Let me try to give you a better answer than that. It's not going to be hard. The hurdle's like on the floor. What are we competing over at the end of the day? We're competing over people's pockets. Everybody is figuring out, how do we monetize? It used to be with album sales in the music industry, mm-hmm. or the sale of singles. Then all of a sudden, everyone realized that they're getting their music and the artists are not getting paid for their music, which is why it's now about tours. Artists are making the most money from tours. So the competition about venue size, about streams, clicks, the monetization of your social media, that is actually how you can define. It used to be, I've had 5 number ones. Can anyone name right now the number one song on the Billboard chart?
I'm looking at the room and there's a lot of vacant
stares.
It's
like that.
Water by that one girl.
Water by that one girl.
That was a couple. I think that was a couple of weeks ago.
No, end of beginning.
It's like that.
It's like that. I just saw that. It's like 7 million streams. It was the most streamed song of the year the other day. So yeah, I'm gonna go with that. But yes, David, to your point, nobody knows. Nobody knows.
It's totally changed. Yeah. We used to, you know, without Greg coding this show because we had that early in the week. When Casey Kasem's giving you your list of top 40s, you're excited. People don't care anymore.
I used to.
So for me, I'm going to where the money is. And that's why the tours matter. And also, what gets money is attention.
But do you care?
And so you called it rap beef, I think is the word you said.
Yeah.
I don't think you need the word rap in there. I think what you're looking for is what Dan talks about often. Give me something that can get aggregated while I'm in a Wonka costume.
But first of all, Dan's dream of getting aggregated is always that he's saying something profound or intelligent while in a Wonka costume. Not just, I'm in a Wonka costume, let me get aggregated over that. In the same way that, like, Jake Paul could come out with a record, and because of who he is and the notoriety he brings, that record could do really, really, really well. But I think that's it hits home to my point where it's like, I thought the whole point of being a fan of something is that you actually are a fan of the thing being done, not the business infrastructure around it. And to bring it back to sports, why are people, I mean, is it ruining the experience, right? When people go to, I went to Heat Warriors last night, and instead of talking about, oh, wow, what a great game from Klay Thompson, it's about, well, the Warriors have a real decision to make at the end of the year, how much to play. It's like, whoa, are we not just enjoying the game itself rather than talk about all the business ramifications?
I think really sports is just a microcosm of the country and of the culture and of the world. Right now, the focus is always on what is hot, what is it that we can discuss that could be viral, and what is the tea? And so it used to be that gossip was lifestyles of the rich and famous. Now it's, how do I become that? I don't want to watch it. I want to be it. When you're at a game, you're looking around. You're looking at your bets. You're looking at your prop bets. You're looking at whether or not your team is doing what you want it to do from a fantasy standpoint. The entire fan experience has changed to the point where when you're marketing a game now, you are rarely marketing the fact that you're the best team in the league, playing the best team in the league. You're marketing what your giveaway is. You're marketing what your special halftime show is, or you're marketing where you're able to wager on games.
Speaking of marketing locally, the Marlins have all-you-can-eat seats with instruments. This is what you texted me, and I said, I was going to ask you in the text. I said, no, I'm going to hold on to the show. What are the instruments? Does that mean it comes with a trombone or what?
So when I have got, I try to be economical in my words. I mean, when I'm texting you possible topics, there's two things going on at Marlins Park this year, or at Lone Depot Park. Excuse me. Sorry. One, there's sections and the 200 level. When we built the 200 level, that's the club level. Mm-hmm. So that's where the suites are, or one level of the suites. And down the line is 201, 202, 203, and 204. And I know this because I actually, sorry, flex, look at me, David. I numbered them myself. Maybe one of the coolest things ever is coming up with the numbers of sections. Look at me, Louise. I will take it. I take that one. But here's the thing about all-you-can-eat seats, and now we're going to talk business. Mm-hmm. The money is not coming out of the concessionaire's pocket. It's coming out of the Marlins' pocket.
Right. They pay the
Marlins pay a fee to the concessionaire, and they go to the concessionaire, and we tried this. Hey, will you discount your food in the all-you-can-eat section? And they say, no, thank you. Your attendance isn't good enough. we are not going to even make less money than the less money we projected to make when we did the original deal with you. So the Marlins say, all right, we'll give up our concession cut for all of this food, and then we will offer it to fans for free. So we will not collect really any ticket revenue. We won't collect any concession revenue. And all of the concessions that are eaten in the all-you-can-eat, we will give that money to Levy. Is it possible they keep a little pittance? Yes. But this is a cry for attendance, and it's a cry that I made many times. But the math of all-you-can-eat does not work. And I predict that this will not last long because you need extra security. You need extra training behind the concession stand so they're not just giving away food to people who come over from section 210. And so all of those things add up to it being a nightmare, which is why teams don't do it.
Every time I hear all you can eat, I think of the Fat Boys. All you can eat. Nobody remembers that song. I'm having a very...
Did they also die in 1989?
I'm having a very old day today. We're going to be back with Samson in a bit where he's going to give us also his movie pick of the week. Stay tuned.
All right, everybody. Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.